We are thankful that you have come this evening to study the Word of God, to be encouraged by the songs that we sing, or sing to our great and matchless God, an awesome God that we serve. Should have made mention this morning, or to at least Greg, for his singing night on Wednesday night, mentioned concerning Hebrews, studying Hebrews chapter 9 on Wednesday night, but we're having singing, so be prepared for that, especially for the song leaders. This evening, we're talking about heaven, the wonderful place. As we consider heaven, the wonderful place, we must recognize concerning the point that it isn't just a place on this earth. As people think about, you know, I found heaven here in whatever place they are at, or maybe as they go on vacation, well, this is heaven. As we think about any physical place on earth that you might feel that is great, that is awesome in some way. No, there's nothing that compares to heaven as we think about what God has prepared through Jesus Christ for the faithful. As we think about so many people with different ideas, and many people think that, well, just about everybody's going to heaven, as we mentioned this morning, but Matthew chapter 7 says otherwise. You know, it's a narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, while many are following the broad way that leads to destruction. But as we think about concerning heaven, is that, you know, everyone very likely has some kind of goal. When we think about from a young age, you know, our little kids, our grandchildren, maybe they're very happy getting maybe a sticker, you know, in Bible class, or a sticker when they go to school, and that's enough for them. Here's the motivation. And later on, we think about getting A's. We think about concerning in the future, we want to graduate. And then we think about concerning getting married and having children, getting good job and being promoted. And we think about concerning go through and all these experiences of life, which are wonderful. But the whole thing is that whatever we have on this earth, whether we get a big pay raise or whether we gain to lots of riches, we recognize these things are going to perish. So any goal that we have here upon this earth is only temporary. Heaven is the ultimate, and we recognize that none of us are deserving of that, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are deserving of eternal condemnation because we have sinned against our great and matchless God. And Jesus came and suffered and died on the cross. We might be saved from the wrath to come. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. So we're going to talk about concerning heaven, you know, first of all, being a real place. In John chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus, in talking to his disciples, as he had mentioned some very difficult things, that he was going to be going away from them, and of course their desire was for him to remain. You might remember when Jesus, when Peter was arguing with Jesus, when he said he was going to suffer and die and be killed, be raised from the dead on the third day, he said, I'm willing to go to a prison and to death. And that's when Jesus told Peter, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And so we recognize concerning, as Jesus is speaking with his disciples and he's going to go away, in John chapter 14, he said, do not let your heart be troubled. Verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, but for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Prepare a place for you. As you think about Jesus dying, you know, and being buried and raised from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures, in Acts chapter 1, he's teaching the disciples for a period of 40 days. And in Acts chapter 1, after he spoke with the apostles that they're going to go throughout the earth and preach the gospel, after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come and just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. You know, as we think about concerning maybe during this time, and I was just looking before services, and you know, the clouds look really kind of strange up there. And if you've ever been, I guess, close to a tornado, you recognize, you know, concerning it's green out there, you better take cover. Well, as you think about them looking, gazing, you could imagine if you were there, how much you'd have been thinking as you see Jesus going to heaven in the same way. And to recognize the power of the statement, as we sing in one of our songs also, and repeating this phrase concerning that he's going to come in just the way, same way as you saw him going to heaven, as you think about concerning bodily, and you think about how awesome that time would be. We recognize concerning that he goes up, and as we think about concerning a place called heaven, look up. Jesus is looking up towards heaven as he is praying to the Father, and that's where our hope is. In 1 Peter chapter 1, as we think about all the great places that we could go on this earth, and we think about reservations and making reservations, and if it's a very popular place, and very likely in the summer, a lot of people are going to try, you know, to go to that same place, and so you're hoping for be able to get a reservation, that there is vacancies there. As we think about concerning the population of heaven, it's not like concerning the rich and famous, and here this is just exclusively for them, and it might be, you know, concerning some places that are almost unaffordable for those who are maybe of middle class. But here, concerning that, there isn't the exclusion as maybe other places and destinations might be. The Apostle Peter writes to Christians in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." As you think about concerning the places that you might go, you might lose that reservation for whatever reason. You know, say if the president or some dignitary comes in and you have this reservation, you might get bumped off as far as that goes. But as you think about concerning why can we depend upon this? Well, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we've been born again to a living hope, born of water and the Spirit, baptized for the remission of sins, we have that hope of everlasting life, being faithful unto death, that one day that we'll obtain it. And notice here, it is imperishable and undefiled. As we think about concerning sin, it may be some of the most beautiful places on earth. You think about occupied by many, many sinners. Sodom and Gomorrah comes to mind. We can imagine the Garden of Eden, how beautiful that must have been. And the description that as Lot is looking upon the valleys of the Jordan or the plains of the Jordan, how beautiful and well-watered it was everywhere. But the scripture had said there were wicked sinners there at Sodom and Gomorrah. We think about places maybe like San Francisco and New York and some big cities like that, and all the wickedness and crime and corruption that is in these wicked places. There is no defilement of sin in heaven. Well, how do we know we're going to be protected and be able to keep that reservation? How do we know that? In verse 5, he said, "Who are protected by what?" He said, "Protected by the power of God." Notice, as you look upon it, that's God's part. Notice concerning our part, "through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, as you might recognize this, as you consider heaven, the discouragement would be concerning these Christians that they're going through great suffering. You know, is it really worth it? As you think about concerning, is this a real place? Because the whole thing is that as you think about individuals and here, you know, their vision gets kind of clouded by as they start to look at the storms of life, the difficulties of life, the sufferings of this life, and get their focus off of heaven, get their focus off of Jesus Christ, which is what the devil wants you to do. And we need to remember that it's protected by the power of God through faith. As they're distressed by various trials, he said in verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. And so as we recognize concerning those who are faithful Christians, we think about concerning no matter what happens, heaven is a real place. It's been protected by the power of God through faith. And so you can endure through whatever trial that you face in your life. Maybe even as you look upon your spouse departing from the faith, or committing adultery, or your parents lose their faith, or your children, or whatever it might happen in your life. Don't give up the faith. Keep focusing on the fact that heaven is a real place, and God has prepared a place for you through Jesus Christ, who made it possible for you. Also, heaven, you think about being a paradise. We recognize in Genesis chapter 3, concerning Adam and Eve were tempted in sin. You think about what? Wouldn't it be just wonderful? Wouldn't it be just wonderful if Adam and Eve just didn't sin? And here they're eating of the tree of life and they're living forever, and that everybody's able to eat of the tree of life and live forever. Well, you know what? That didn't happen, did it? We recognize Satan tempted Eve, and she knew, you know, she knew what God said. Maybe sometimes like we know what God said, and yet we sin anyway. We choose to transgress God's law because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's what the temptation verse 6, when God had told them, you can eat of any tree of the garden except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she started looking at the fruit after she was told by Satan, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. There isn't going to be punishment. When you think about it, if there's no punishment, you think about how easy it is to be tempted to sin. And so the woman saw that the tree was good for food. It was a delight to the eyes. The tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were open. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They recognize concerning that we have to cover up. You think about concerning, you know, we've got to cover up concerning our sin. And then the excuses come for our sins. As we think about concerning the punishment, they had to be banished from the garden. In verse 24, the scripture says he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Paradise lost. They could never live in the garden again. And thorns and thistles were upon the earth. Women had to suffer in childbirth. Men had to work by the sweat of his brow since that period of time. But the encouragement is, as we think about the paradise lost, can be regained. In Revelation chapter 2, as the letter of the church at Ephesus, he mentions concerning their deeds and where they needed to repent. He said in Revelation 2 and verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Notice it. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We think about paradise lost can be regained if we overcome. You think about each and every church. There, church at Ephesus, you think about concerning every individual, concerning that we have to overcome whatever the stumbling block is, whatever the false teaching is, whatever the temptation is, that we overcome it. But the promise is, you said, grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So we're immediately reminded of concerning Genesis, where sin separated man from God, and now fellowship with God. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14, hopefully very familiar to you, and one of the songs that we sing, blessed are they who do who keep his commandments. They shall have the right to eat of the tree of life. Heaven, place a paradise. Also concerning riches, while many are desiring the things of this life and the riches of this life and possessions, we recognize where the true riches are. Gail had mentioned, we were talking this morning concerning people breaking in during services. Here there are those who are worshiping God, and here are the thieves breaking in and stealing because they know that services aren't going to be out for quite a while. I was thinking even in the small town of Brennan where I was at, where the preacher and his wife, they left something in their vehicle, and during services they could hear. Well, they weren't very far away, and they could hear the broken glass. And so thieves break through and steal while we're here upon this earth. But it's only temporary, these physical things. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 19, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where three thieves break in and steal." You think about concerning maybe the greatest treasure that you have, and maybe it's something that has been passed down from your grandmother or grandfather, and it's very precious to you. Maybe it's a jewelry, or maybe it's some artifact or something very valuable. We recognize, okay, we think about treasuring these things. Well, the whole thing is, in the end, it's going to be destroyed. It's going to rust. It's going to corrupt, and thieves can steal it. In verse 20, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Concerning what we treasure in our heart. We think about concerning riches, and we think about maybe all the beautiful things and the possessions, and you know, we are blessed in America to be able to enjoy some of the riches of this life that all in the past generations could only dream about. You can do more with a phone than you can do in any generation in the past concerning all the things that you can do with a phone, a cell phone these days. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, writing to the brethren, he reminded them of where they were at. They need to be reminded they were dead in their sins. Here's the way you walked in this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience. And you think about all the evil and corruption going on. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6, "And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And we recognize that concerning through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, through our obedience to the gospel, that we have been raised to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You think about having access to God through Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? So I don't feel like I'm sitting together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But in verse 7, as we think about the future, he says that for in verse 7, "So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." And so whatever the most awesome thing that you have, the greatest thing that you possibly have seen, the most beautiful thing, the most valuable thing, doesn't compare with what God has to show us in the future. As we think about concerning these heavenly treasures, and the whole thing about it, as you look upon what the Scripture says, that he desires to show us that. As you think about concerning his sacrifice, look towards the true riches that are in Christ Jesus as we think about the future in heaven, in eternal life. And we talk about concerning the beauty. We talk a little bit about jewels and so many love diamonds and pearls. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus told many parables and spoke in these terms of kingdom of heaven in ways that we can understand from a physical standpoint, because we are physical human beings. We can understand things in physical terms, but it's even so much better. But here's the kingdom of heaven. It's described as a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. He knew in his business concerning finding that one, and he found it. And so he was willing to give up all of his treasures, everything that he had. And as we think about it concerning our life, in the same way that we should be willing to give up. I'm not saying that you sell your possessions, give it all away, but you recognize concerning this is of eternal value. It's worth giving everything else up for this one pearl of great value. You might think about concerning maybe the most beautiful thing as you consider your bride coming down the aisle. in that beautiful dress. And you think about the description that is used in Revelation chapter 21, and what the Apostle John, and what he saw in this vision. Revelation chapter 21, we'll begin in verse 1, where he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." What a beautiful picture that God grants us as we think about concerning that beauty, a bride being adorned for her husband, and this description concerning that the holy city coming down out of heaven from God like that, and made ready in that way. What a beautiful picture. And then you think about concerning all the great jewelry, whatever that you desire. I can remember thinking about growing up, you know, concerning named after places, you know, Garnet Court. We lived on Garnet Court when we were growing up, and there was topaz. And we see here the beauty of, in verse 18 here, you think about concerning the description of heaven here, the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. God wants us to get a picture. You think about concerning the Bible book pictures, as you have this picture in imagination in your mind concerning the beauty of heaven. And hopefully, you know, you think about concerning the desire to go there. It's much more than you can possibly imagine. And so you ought to be willing to give up concerning whatever treasure that you have here, the beauties of heaven, which are eternal. And then also concerning heaven being a place of bliss. Think about concerning the joys. You love to sing praises to God. Somebody says, well, maybe, you know what, I don't like to sing. Somebody says, well, I don't like to sing. But the whole thing about it is maybe if somebody can't sing. But you know what? If you're paying attention to the words of the song, the songs that we are singing ought to, you know, inspire you in awe concerning our awesome God. As we think about concerning praising Him, and as we think about farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, you think about concerning them singing or praising God with a loud voice here. Hear the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. I went to Revelation chapter 5 first. In Revelation 4 verse 8, the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they did not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." Think about that song we sing, "Holy, holy, holy." I think it's the first song in our songbook, in the big songbook. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever. and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. So worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer. Holy, holy, holy is our God forever and ever, praising God in bliss, in eternal bliss. So Revelation 14, talk much about the new song. In Revelation chapter 14, the scripture says, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one can learn the song except the 144,000 who have been purchased from the earth. In Revelation 15, verse 3, they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. So sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. You think about a place of eternal bliss where there is no more suffering, no more trials, no more devil to tempt us, no more reading about murders, no more funerals to attend to, no more loss of loved ones. For in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, Revelation 21, verse 4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. I guess it's hard for us to imagine as years go by because the physical is all that we know. And we think about the promise of heaven. And we think about concerning the guarantee of this because God keeps His promises. Because of His great and precious promises and all the prophecies being fulfilled, the eyewitness testimony that was given to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and how we know that there's going to be a judgment day because of the fact that God raised Jesus up from the dead and that Jesus had prepared a place for us. We can have eternal bliss where there is no more crying or pain or any suffering in the end. And then the true eternal security. I recognize concerning those who are false teachers would preach once you're saved, you're always saved, and so therefore you can do what you will, what you desire, whatever you desire, and it'll be all right. It's not all right with the Lord. They misuse John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. But once you are in heaven, yes, there is eternal security. In John chapter 10, as Jesus speaks in this passage, in John chapter 10, Jesus said these words, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The promise concerning hearing His voice and following Jesus and continuing to do that. Not listening to the voice of strangers. Not listening to the voice of false teachers who are being used by Satan, who has his ministers to deceive people into believing a lie. No, as you think about concerning, there is eternal security in heaven. As we think about once we are enjoying it, it won't be taken away. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonian brethren, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there were those who had passed away. Their relatives had passed away, and they were concerned because the Lord hadn't returned yet, and they were expecting Him to return immediately. And, of course, He hasn't come, and it's been almost 2,000 years since He was upon the earth, almost. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, By inspiration, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And notice the latter part of verse 17. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So there's no time concerning a thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth with his saints, as you recognize, concerning the Lord's coming. And we see here concerning we're caught up together with those who have died in Christ before, and thus we will always be with the Lord, and thus we can be comforted by those words concerning that eternal security in heaven, concerning those who are faithful Christians, those faithful saints, those loved ones who have gone on before that have been faithful to the Lord, are with the Lord, and thus we can be comforted that we will be with them in the Lord in the future. In Revelation chapter 21, as we think about a picture of security, and as you think about back during those period of time concerning having a wall around a city of protection. Obviously, this is before the days before you can have planes go over and drop bombs in other places. But obviously, back then you couldn't do that, so you had high walled cities as protection. Didn't matter to God as far as, you know, God was able to bring down the walls of Jericho, which were great when the Israelites obeyed him by marching around the city and doing what he told them to do. In Revelation chapter 21, you see this picture of security. In verse 12 of Revelation 21, it said it had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names are written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. A great and high wall. You think about this protection. Really, as you look upon it, it's really eternally secure, because once you are enjoying eternal life, it cannot be taken away. And so we recognize the eternal security in heaven. Heaven, the wonderful place. It is a real place. And as we think about concerning this life, don't be discouraged. Don't be tempted by the things of this life to get focused and putting your possessions first, or riches first, or family first, or whatever you desire in this world. Think about what Jesus Christ has done for you. And as you recognize concerning, you know what, whatever you have right now, when you die, you'll have nothing in the end. But you have to face the Lord in judgment day. And why would you not respond to the invitation, recognizing we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and our sins separate us from God, but by grace we can be saved through faith in Christ Jesus, in obedience to the gospel, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. You can repent of your sins tonight. Confess your faith that he is the Son of God. Be buried with Christ in baptism, that you might rise to walk in newness of life and go from here rejoicing and being faithful until death and serving the Lord. You can have that eternal life in the end and be truly eternally secure to a place that is undefiled, reserved in heaven for you, will never fade away. And all the things of this life will all fade away. All the tribulations, all the suffering, all the sacrifice you made in your life will be all worth it. Heaven will surely be worth it all. But if you don't have heaven in your eyesight right now and you're separated from God, if you need to obey the gospel, do it right now. Or if you need to be restored to get focused on the right track once again, focus on Jesus Christ and serving him, you can do that tonight. God calls. We encourage you to come right now as you stand and sing.